Welcome to Generations with Kevin Swanson, looking at life through the eyes of a biblical worldview. He grapples with the issues of education, culture, and family. He doesn't have all the answers, but one thing is for sure. He is committed to preserving our faith and freedom for the next generation. And now, here's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Folks, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I am on the air with you today, I'm a father of five, and we look at the world through the eyes of a biblical worldview in our family, and we do the same thing on the air with you. In the news, a North Carolina school district is being sued over its decision to discipline a student for passing out leaflets which presented a Christian viewpoint on homosexuality. He was trying to commemorate the Day of Truth, and the school didn't want any Day of Truth, apparently. So now the ADF, the Alliance Defense Fund, is suing them. And, you know, the Alliance Defense Fund, we interviewed them on this Day of Truth thing, and now they're in trouble over it.
Well, it only makes sense because I know in North Carolina they've banned all the pro-homosexual materials from the library and from the curriculum, right?
Yeah, and here's another North Carolina story where a Bible study is banned at the Heritage Court Apartments because they don't want Bible studies in apartment buildings in North Carolina. So North Carolina not doing very good these days. Neither is Italy, by the way. A guy's fined $800 for putting some lobsters on ice. Apparently they were getting cold, and he forgot to put mittens on the things. No. He was putting them on ice in order to preserve them for the cooking them. So I don't know. Animal cruelty, I guess. The same place in Italy, you're required to walk your dog three times a day.
That's a law?
It's a law. Yeah, if it's two, if it's one, then, yeah, they slap you with fines. Folks, I don't know what's happening to Italy. Obviously, a naturalistic evolutionary worldview is dominating, and Christianity is totally irrelevant in the country of Italy. Common sense evidently being irrelevant there, too. Joel Beltz in World Magazine, this is most recent, he says, as countries get richer, their populations age and their birth rates plummet. And also today, Putin, President Vladimir Putin and Russia, says he's got to take steps to increase the birth rate there because they're losing 700,000 people a year. Now I have enough kids. Apparently all the women are out working in the workforce. So Joel Beltz is saying it's a matter of the countries getting more materialistic. As the countries get richer, they see their populations age and their birth rates plummet. And that's because, obviously, they worship money and they value drywall over children, right? We've said that before on this program. Houses have doubled in size and birth rates have halved in size since 1920. So, obviously, we like drywall way more than we like children because, we're self-centered and materialistic.
Well, also, we like virtual relationships on television or over the Internet, and those don't produce children.
Nearly 20% of women born in the late 1950s are reaching the end of their reproductive lives without having had children. That number, folks, is nearly two times what it was a generation earlier. But here's a caveat that Joel brings out in this World Magazine article, which I wanted to share with you today. The meek, as it turns out, do inherit the earth. The fertility rates in states carried in 2004 by George W. Bush are 11% higher than states won by John Kerry. We're assuming that George W. Bush is the meek, and he's going to inherit the earth. He's going to rule. Here's a question. Will the meek inherit the earth? Will the meek have more children? And will they inherit the earth? Will they one day control, I guess, the political institutions of our day? Apparently, Joel Beltz believes that we will. And, well, the Word of God says that we will inherit the earth. But, if we are meek, only if we don't send our kids to public schools where they get indoctrinated into a materialistic, naturalistic worldview. That doesn't include God in the equation. See? So here's the problem. If the meek run out there and have a whole bunch of children, and then they send their children to public schools where they're taught not to fear God and not to be meek, then we got a problem, don't we? And is this common sense? That's common sense. Ladies and gentlemen, today I want to talk about sibling rivalry. And I'll tell you why. It's because flashbacks from when I was a kid. I was 11, 12 years old, and I remember I hated my brother, my little brother Eric. I could not stand him. And a lot of it was because I was just a jealous, covetous, angry, bitter little boy. And I knew it. And one day, I'll never forget this. I was extremely competitive with him. extremely competitive. And he was, oh, I think he was about 2 years younger than me. So figure 9, 10 years old. And I'm 12 years old, and we are racing. I clearly remember this. We're racing down the street, around the corner to where our house is. And I could hear my little brother approaching, fast approaching. I could hear his footsteps. And I just, you know how you're running? I just kind of paused for a second and let my leg just kind of be there for an extra second or two, and he tripped over my leg, and he went airborne. He wound up in the sewer ditch that ran beside our house on the alleyway next to our house in Japan, where the sewer ditch is being uncovered at that time, and he wound up messing up his face pretty bad.
And 30 years later, you're still feeling bad about it.
Ah, I'm still feeling bad about it. Sibling rivalry 30 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I hated my brother. I had to repent of it. God convicted me of that sin, and by God's grace, we renewed a great relationship. By the time I was 15, 16 years old, we had a very good relationship, and today we are very, very close. My brother still lives in Japan, by the way, and I think he still has that chip, too. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment. Sibling rivalry, how we deal with it in our home on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Is that okay, bringing up?
Worldview Radio, at its best, this is Generations.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Kevin Swanson here with you today, talking about the real things of life, the things that affect every family. And sibling rivalry is one of them, Dave. I'm sure sibling rivalry has got to affect your family. It affects mine. Do your children fight? They ever fight? They ever argue? You ever hear bicker, 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 fight, fight, bicker, 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 fight, fight. That ever happen in your family, Dave?
No, because we keep our children hermetically sealed in individual jars.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Do you put the holes in the top so they can breathe?
Sometimes.
Then they're fighting. They can yell through it and they can hear each other.
Actually, my children are always trying to establish who is the greatest in the kingdom.
Yeah, exactly. And we've been doing that for a long time, haven't we, folks? By sibling rivalry, I've been talking about antagonism or hostility between brothers and sisters, you know, fighting, pulling hair, unwillingness to share the toys. This sort of thing happens from the time that they're what, 2 months old? From the point at which they can see the other child, they're making eye motions, sibling rivalry eye motions to each other. And, you know, there's a lot of things that aggravate sibling rivalry. We actually have a fairly peaceful home most of the time. But from time to time, just things become sort of out of control. People start getting a little fussy with each other. We start getting a little aggravated with each other. And I think this happens, is aggravated when you're together for long periods of time and you're in close contact with each other. For example, the car. Dave, let's face it, even if you're doing fairly well in any given family, you all get in the car and you get on a 32-hour car trip together, and you're telling me things don't disintegrate at some point. Exactly. Close spaces can be tough. Parental favoritism can be a bad thing, and sometimes if you have an only child for a long time and then she or he finally gets another sibling, can be a real challenge. Now, Dave, I want to go over just for a moment what psychologists say about sibling rivalry. What they tell you is that sibling rivalry is competition for limited or scarce resources, all right? Sort of like baby sharks. The biggest baby shark often devours his mother, brothers and sisters so that he'll have all of the available food resources. And you get a baby eaglet that's born, sometimes kills the other sibling eaglets by pushing them out of the nest as they come out of their eggs. See, that way all the food that the mother eagle brings will be only for him. So the scarce resources that they're talking about is the time, attention, love, and approval that parents can give to each of their children. So that's what psychologists say is the real issue here in sibling rivalry. It's this innate evolutionary animalistic desire to survive. Like the eagles and the sharks. So what can we say about this? Well, unfortunately, guys, we don't share the anthropology of evolutionary naturalists that believe that we're just sort of advanced cosmic slime, cosmic dust that's sort of advanced into some kind of a self-conscious, self-aware somethingness in a universe of pure and absolute meaningless chance. Well, that's not our worldview. Our worldview is that we are made in the image of God and we are moral creatures, and we come out of the womb with a little problem called, shall I say it, Dave? Say it. Sin. There, I said it. He said it. Sin. Ladies and gentlemen, sin's the problem. And baby sharks don't have sin problems. And neither do baby eaglets. but little baby humans do. All right, the problem is, here's the real root. We come out of the womb with little hearts filled with self-centeredness, self-centered anger, hearts that don't love God and really don't want to bother ourselves with loving anybody else. Would you say that's a problem with the average little boy? Have you ever had one born that didn't have that problem?
No, I haven't. I mean, I keep going back to the very first sibling rivalry,
yeah,
which would be the very first pair of brothers, which would, of course, be Cain and Abel.
Right.
Now, were they fighting over scarce resources? Let's see. Cain, you can have the northern hemisphere. Abel, you can have the southern hemisphere. You
yeah,
should both
right.
be happy now, right?
Right. We're doing okay so far. Right.
But apparently that wasn't the issue.
That
there was
not the issue.
There was something else. And it wasn't over who got what, but I don't like you because you're God's favorite.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a heart problem. We've inherited it from Grandpa Adam, and we've seen the trait, and, well, 5 for 5 so far. I have 5 children. Dave, it's 5 for 5 for you, too. Okay, he's figuring it out. Okay, yeah, 5 for 5 for Dave, too. Our children are born with a sin problem. And when it's all about me, 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 then suddenly I am the center of the universe, and I need all the attention, love, and approval from others rather than being responsible for giving some love and attention to everybody else. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a heart problem. It's a heart problem. Now, let's talk a little bit about how we can deal with the problem of sibling rivalry, Dave. Every family's got it. Some families is more chaotic than others. I think a lot of the aggravating issues is when children are left alone for long periods of time, when they're with their peer group constantly all day long. You think they're learning how to interact and kill the flesh, mortify the flesh, and become less selfish and more interested in giving and sharing and so forth without a parent or a discipler or somebody there to train that child. Hard to believe. A lot of parents plug their children into television sets and somehow hope that somehow the sibling rivalry issue will go away. Just doesn't, does it, Dave? Now, it can be helpful if an older child is trained well and becomes an example for the others, but parents can be tremendous examples. If parents are getting angry and irritated with each other or with the children, then what do you think the children are going to do? Chances are they're going to get angry and irritated with each other, right? I mean, it's a one-to-one, guys. They're going to be basically like their parents. That's a toughie. That's a toughie. And here's the other thing. I have found that I, as a father, as daddy, I can be a huge example by how I treat my wife, all right? When I as the big guy in the family, I'm bigger than my wife. When I treat my wife with tenderness, with patience and kindness, when I hug her and I kiss her, before you know it, the older children are treating their younger siblings with patience and kindness too. You'll have older siblings with their arm around a younger sibling, and Dave, that does my heart a lot of good. So, dads, I really think that we can be of tremendous influence and example for our children as we treat our wives with tenderness and kindness in their presence. And here's the other thing. Parental favoritism can be a real problem. This can be a real stimulant to jealousy and covetousness. This goes all the way back to Jacob, right? Because he preferred Joseph over the other brothers. It was obvious. And the end result was these brothers went and threw their brother into a pit and then sold him to slaves. Now, that's not a good thing to do, and we certainly should not lay all the blame at the feet of the father who played favoritism. But, and these guys need to bear their own responsibility, but it is a problem when parents play favoritism. Now, when you talk about sibling rivalry, folks, you've got an issue of competition that plays into this as well, because there is competition that does exist between brothers and sometimes sisters. And we need to deal with this because not all rivalry is wrong or sinful. In fact, I personally don't like the term sibling rivalry. I'd much rather use biblical terminology. It's much more helpful. It helps us to make distinctions better. And so let's talk about competition. Is competition healthy? Now, I think to the extent that boys are challenging each other, I think of Chad. He was challenging my son last night. He says, I'm going to whoop him. He was going to whoop him in ping pong, right? He was going to go downstairs and whoop my son Daniel in ping pong. And turned out Chad came up a whoop pup himself. So in that particular case, Chad, you didn't do very well. But here's my point. My point is that boys like to challenge each other, and that is not a bad thing. Now, it's one thing to be proud in that competition. Competition is a double-edged sword here, right, Dave? Because competition can encourage me to be proud in the sense that I'm always trying to prove that I'm better than other people. But if we're using competition as a means to challenge ourselves, in other words, I want you to challenge me, to push me, to stretch me, to push my limits and see how I can perform, competition can be a good thing.
Competition can. It sort of it revolves around whether or not we enjoy winning or whether we enjoy being the winner.
Mm-hmm.
If we enjoy winning, we enjoy the competition, we enjoy pushing ourselves, we enjoy being the most excellent we can at a given activity. But if we enjoy being the winner, we don't really want to engage in the struggle, we just want to lord it over someone.
Yeah, and you can tell when somebody wants to be the winner. You can tell in a number of different ways. One way is there's emotional breakdown when they lose games. All right, now we go, no, we've got a character issue here. We got a pride that was wounded, right? So when there's emotional breakdown, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Somebody gets the Monopoly board rammed over their head, all right, and all the pieces fly everywhere. Now, that's, I think, a pretty good sign that you've got a problem here. Dave, I was fiercely competitive as a boy. I'll never forget. One time I lost a game, and I was playing. My brother and I were playing against some Japanese kids in a rice paddy. I got really mad because I lost the game. I called them those lousy Japs or something like that. My dad grounded me for an entire month. He realized that Kevin had a basic pride issue. And all my sins are coming out today on this program. Ladies and gentlemen, sibling rivalry and competition, it can be healthy. But when there's crying, when there's anger, that illustrates a lack of control. And that's got to be disciplined. You've got to do what my dad did. He took the time to discipline me. He trained me. Thank God for the fathering that my father gave me many years ago. I'm giving my son the same thing. But you know what, Dave? Angry boys, proud boys, are going to just grow up and become angry men and oftentimes abusive men. So you've got to discipline that out of that young man.
One of the things that you need to do is teach your sons to be good losers.
Yeah.
So they can be good winners. Because anything worth doing in life that's really worth doing is worth doing wrong. You're going to lose on the way to becoming a winner. So it's worth getting in the struggle. It's worth being two or number three at it and working your way up. But if you can't lose graciously, you can never win graciously.
That's right. Let's not minimize the importance of competition. It's important for those boys to get down into the field and engage in competition, but they've got to do it right. You've got to be honing character as you do it. We only have a few minutes left now, folks, and so I want to leave you with some solid tips, some ways you can handle sibling rivalry in your home. My guess, just about every home needs to be working on sibling rivalry just about every day. The first point is teach your children that every child is different. I mean, every child has different gifts and abilities, and you need to constantly affirm that every child has been blessed with God's gifts in a unique way. And affirm those gifts. Now, some of your children may do poorly in academics. So what? So what? Sometimes children feel badly because they don't perform as well in academics as their other siblings. That's okay. God makes children differently. They need to know the principle of individuality. You need to emphasize that in your home. That's so basic. It's one of my basic points in my book, Upgrade, The 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. The principle of individuality, essential, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, you got to get to know the heart of your child. Dave, this is important. This is important because how are you going to know if there is pride or selfishness going on in that competition unless you know the heart of your child? Now, another point is that you need to be fair. You need to be fair with your children. And this means that in general, you need to basically give them the same size of cake and the same number of cookies and the same rough value in gifts, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the other ditch on this one. Don't turn it into a court battle. See, some kids want to be real specific and real tight, become basically lawyers. They're always fighting for their cause. And they're getting it down to the nitty-gritty and drawing slight little distinctions in who gets what. And you got to be careful they don't turn into lawyers. Whenever somebody's really tight in terms of how they're treated versus somebody else, obviously, they're self-centered. That exactly betrays self-centeredness. Oftentimes bitterness and anger as well, and you've got to be shepherding those hearts. That's essential. We sing Be Ye Kind One to Another, what, 3-4 times a day? Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We have a little song we sing almost every day, 3-4 times a day. And we want our children to know this is the environment in which this family is going to operate. We are into being kind, even as Jesus was kind and gave his life for us. So if you don't get the largest cookie, somebody else gets the largest cookie. Hey, Jesus gave his life for you. Little give and take would be good here. All right. And then finally, you need to teach your children some biblical peacemaking skills. This is important. Overlooking. How do you overlook? You need to overlook other people's sins. And if they're minor sins, you overlook them 490 times a day. From time to time, if you're really offended by somebody really sins against you, you need to confront that person. Confrontation. And what does that confrontation look like? They need to be trained in biblical confrontation. How do you confront somebody when somebody has sinned against you? This is tough stuff, but children need to be trained in this sort of thing. Asking forgiveness and providing forgiveness. I think of the principles of the peacemaker, Dave, and we have trained our children in some of this stuff, and we're trying every day to work these principles into our children's lives. This is the real basic nuts and bolts of the Christian life. If they don't know how to say I'm sorry, if they don't know how to give forgiveness, they don't know how to live as Christians. And Dave, I mean, is there anything more basic in the Christian life than this? I can't think of anything. That's why we like to recommend Biblical Peacemaking, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, or Young Peacemaker by Corlett Sandy. Dave, you've used these materials for your children.
We have. There's some comic books that are available, comic book style lessons. Children really love them. They learn quite a bit. Wonderful family resources.
Young Peacemaker by Corlett Sandy, or The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. We offer these resources, these very, very basic resources for the Christian life. We offer them at our Resource Center in Parker. You need to have, I'd say, of the 10 books you own in your library, one of them needs to be The Peacemaker or Young Peacemaker by Corlett Sandy. Ladies and gentlemen, you can get these resources by calling us at 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK, or go to checkbooks.com on our website, checbooks.com, and pick up these resources to deal with sibling rivalry and the issues of peacemaking in your family life. Absolutely essential if you're raising a Christian family. Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me, host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.